fitter, happier. A program about your health, for your health.
And one of the best ways to promote better mental health is to talk about it. And that's the basis of today's Are You OK Day. By normalising the approach of checking in with others, Are You OK Day encourages people to meaningfully connect with others and support anyone struggling with issues in their life. It encourages people to ask, listen, encourage action and check in with others. And in the studio today to talk more, we have Jane Armstrong, Senior Mental Health Practitioner at Royal Perth Hospital. Welcome back to the MAG.
Good morning.
It's so nice to have you back. Thank you for being with us today. So, are you okay?
I'm awesome. Are you okay?
I'm good. I'm very good. Apart from losing my voice here and there, I'm good.
It's your dulcet tones.
I'm husky today. So how common are things like depression and anxiety and all that kind of stuff? It's unfortunately quite prevalent, isn't it?
It is, unfortunately. Wow, we're seeing mainly depression and anxiety grow at exponential rates, really. And it's hard to tell whether that's the way of society now, or are we recognising it more? Are we willing to actually go, well, actually, I might be depressed?
That's a good point, because what you raised there is that, is it just that people are more comfortable about talking about it, or is there something that's affecting people?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. Really, really hard to tell. But I think the benefit of Are You OK Day is the opportunity for us to go, actually, hey, how are you travelling? And it's about suicide prevention. And that's the reason why Are You OK Day was started about 10 years ago now. And it's all about suicide prevention. So I've got some icky stats for you. So this is from the Australian Bureau of Statistics in 2016. So in Australia, we have approximately 8 deaths per day from suicide.
Wow.
More males, and the particular age group for them is 15 to 24 years. Women, the highest rate is in the 50 to 54 year age. And for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, suicide was the fifth most common cause of death and equates to twice the rate of non-ATSI folks.
That is...
scary, isn't it?
My jaw dropped at those statistics, like... especially the women's statistics.
50 to 54.
Yeah.
And I think you have to look at a couple of things around that. 50 to 54 is the most common age for their kids to leave home. You're also looking at the dreaded monster of menopause. Now, I've got some LGBTI stats for you. LGBTI young people aged 16 to 27 are 5 times more likely to attempt suicide. Transgender folks aged 18 and over are nearly 11 times more likely. People with intersex variation aged 16 and over are nearly 6 times more likely. And LGBTI young people who experience abuse and harassment are even more likely to attempt suicide. Scary, scary stats.
It is, and it's frustrating that we were just talking about before, you know, why are these stats, why do we know more about it? And it's almost annoying that, you know, living in this 21st century, that people still have to go through that and that we're still trying to bring awareness to topics like this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think, look, as a society as a whole, we're doing better. I think slowly but surely we are knocking down those walls of stigma. But there is still stigma, particularly for men, for guys to speak out about what they're feeling and what they're thinking. It's still a huge stigma. And again, that's the benefit of Are You OK Day.
So why do you think that mental health generally is such a difficult topic for people to talk about?
Because it's tough. It's tough. It's something you can't see. My mum was also a nurse, and she turns around and goes, I don't understand mental health because I can't actually see it. And she was a paediatric nurse and a midwife. And she said, whenever I looked after someone, I could see that they had a broken arm or a broken leg or something along those lines. But with mental health, you can't necessarily see it. So it's more difficult to conceptualise. And for particularly for people with mental illnesses such as schizophrenia, who may have voices inside their heads, all people see is someone walking down the street talking to themselves.
Mm.
And that scares people. So it's still a challenge.
And I guess going back to that is it's so different for every person. You know, everybody experiences their own mental health issues that you can't generalise it. You can't just...
That's exactly right. You know, it's individual for each person.
Exactly,
so one person who has depression... So if I have depression, my depression might be different to yours. Mm. So it's really about starting the conversations with people and going... I personally don't use the "Are you okay?" thing because people tend to look at me and laugh because they think I'm being a bit sort of, you know, silly, which is so unlike me. you know, I tend to say, you know, "Hey, how are you traveling?"
Yeah.
And really, if it's someone that you know, you'll get a gut instinct for how they're going anyway. I think. One of the biggest things with actually asking someone how they're going is to be able to actually sit with them and listen rather than offer advice, because essentially as human beings we want to be able to fix things for people that we care about. But really it's controlling that urge and just sitting back and listening and being there.
I was gonna ask about that as why do you think listening is so important? Like... I mean, as you just said, it's easy for us to, you know, kind of think, oh, you know, we'll do this and we'll fix it. But someone who might be experiencing mental health issues, they need someone to lean on, I guess.
Absolutely. And all of us at some stage in our lives need someone to lean on, sometimes heavier than others. And really the listening is acknowledging to that person that's sharing what's going on for them, that you're actually listening, that you're actually genuinely there. And this goes back to why you're asking in the first place. Is it that you genuinely want to know how they're going, or is it somewhat, you know, just an off-the-cuff question? Because I think we do that anyway. You know, we sort of meet someone or see someone we know and go, hey, how are you going?
It is. That's how I greet everyone. Hey, how you going?
That's right. And automatically we respond, oh, yeah, good, good.
Yeah.
So we don't – when we automatically respond, we don't actually check in with how we're actually feeling. And it's the same with the person asking. Do we actually genuinely want to know, or is it just, how you doing?
Yeah. And so, like, going back to the reasons of asking people, what should we be looking out for? Like, are there any telltale signs?
Yeah. So – let's talk about depression in general. Mm-hmm. So generally when we look at someone who is going through a rough patch or might be suffering from some depression, we look at a number of things. What's happening with their sleep? The sleep might be that they're not sleeping well or that they're waking up and not being able to go back to sleep. The other one is that they may be sleeping more, and that's called parasomnia. So, you know, say if they're normally a 6 to 8 hour sleeper, but they're actually sleeping longer or they're having more nana naps in the afternoon, but they're still not waking up refreshed, that's a really good sign of someone who's doing it tough. Appetite, more or nil. They're the really good indicators. Someone might be talking about some negative stuff, feeling sad, feeling hopeless, feeling helpless, feeling like they need to cry a lot or are crying a lot, lack of energy, lack of motivation. So that's all stuff that you see not only in our loved ones but in the workplace. We spend 25% of our lives with our colleagues at work.
So I think I see my colleagues more than I see my boyfriend.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So... really, it's about checking in with our colleagues as well, because we're actually probably more likely to notice this stuff in the way they're working or the way they're interacting with people than their husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever.
Mm.
So it's a continuous thing. It's checking in with people.
How do you think we can overcome this as a society to get more involved with people's mental health and to get out there a little bit more and talk about it?
That's a toughie. How long have you got? one of my biggest things that I rant about, and my wife gets very tired of me ranting about this particular one, but it's about community. I think we've lost our sense of community. If you look at many, many moons ago, we used to have the intergenerational family homes. Mm. And we knew all of our neighbours, you know, in the whole street. And at some point we might have had block parties, you know. And people knew each other. They looked after each other's kids. If they knew that someone's sick, they'd bring them a meal, that sort of stuff. I think that is not the norm anymore. It's the exception. And I think when we had that as the norm, people were able to reach out more easily, but also people recognised that the people around them, in their village, so to speak, weren't coping. And I think that's one of the biggest keys for us to get that back.
We're a beautiful community here at RTRFM. Yeah. And always, if anyone ever needs anything, they know that they can get in touch with us. But if people are concerned about their mental health, where can they go and what can we do?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So really, you know, the best first step is your GP. Your GP is one of your best people to see if you're feeling pretty crap. And then from there you've got places like your local mental health service. You've got a service called MERL, which is Mental Health Emergency Response Line, who you can call 24 hours a day and you can get advice. And there's lots of other support services. Beyond Blue, you've got and actually if you go to the Health Department website, there's a whole list of resources that you can access.
Yes, that's healthywa.wa.gov.au.
Yeah, that sounds right. Say that 10 times quickly.
Oh, yeah. I'm having a shocking morning for tongue twisters this morning.
But, you know, also look at things like Living Proud, especially if you identify as LGBTI. There's Living Proud. There's the National LGBTI Alliance. There's heaps and heaps of resources out there now.
Well, Jane, thank you so much for being on Fitter Happy with us this morning
thank
to talk
you
about Are You OK Day. We've been speaking to Jane Armstrong, the Senior Mental Health Practitioner at Royal Perth. And if anybody does need any more information, they can head on over to ruok.org.au or the Mental Health Commission, which is mhc.wa.gov.au.